you were trying to work it.
You are rolling, maybe.
Gentlemen, I can tell you this, the whole hotel is rented out. The last four rooms were taken last Sunday, and you know I was taken, because I'm there. Remember at the hotel with Sunday? So the last four rooms I'm responsible for. But all I can tell you is I come very cheaply, because I only take one room. I don't come with children. That's one. Two, I can give shiurim in three languages, but they need two languages, Hebrew and English. Yiddish. I can also speak Yiddish. But for them, Hebrew, last year I looked at the schedule, they had two scholars in residence, and every night they had two shiurim at the same time, one in Hebrew, one in English. So I saw this year they were very happy I'm going there. Let me tell you, it's a big fuss, because they don't need me to give shiurim. People go away for Pesach because they want to go. Sukkot, then they use me as an attraction, but not Pesach. And they're not serious. I still haven't heard. I gave them a long list of topics. I've not yet heard from them. So I probably won't hear from them, but all right.
You have to set the menu first.
Baruch Hashem. Okay, anyway, first of all, I want to thank the Torah Chicago boys for coming. Everyone went to Poland. And I was worried we'll have only the Kollel, and the Baruch Hashem, we have some good representation in any kind of call time. It is Sunday, April 3rd, 2011. And before I begin the formal shiur, it's a very fascinating shiur today. I just want to respond to a beautiful letter from my Talmud in London, Rabbi Yisrael Phillips. And he made a few comments, and number one, I want to relate to the Erev issue. It seems that I said in class that I've never seen such a bitter machloket over an Erev as you have in London. So Rabbi Phillips writes to me that he heard a posek a number of years ago say that it's a shaila d'oraita. Why am I coming down hard on the machmirim? So I just want to make clear to you, and I go into great detail about this next year or the year afterwards, it's one of my favorite topics, Erev. But I want to make clear to you that wherever you have a big city, you get involved with a d'oraita, because if you chashish v'shita to Rambam of Tetz Zayin Amot, making reshit to Rabbim, then you have reshit to Rabbim d'oraita. Then already you have a big problem, because Tzuret HaPesach is not enough, you need an actual mechitza. You follow? So what Rabbi Feldman said applies to London, applies to New York, applies to Paris, applies to Jerusalem, applies to Tel Aviv, applies to Haifa, etc., etc. So I stand on what I said. There's always been a machloket. If you're Choshesh, the Mishkanot Yaakov, the Bet Ephraim, you all know that the Mishnah Berurah counts up Achronim on either side. And I can only paskin the way the Rav taught me. And the Rav said, the Rav personally did not carry. He's Mishkanot Yaakov, is a Talmud Rav Chaim Volozhin, it's his family. But he says, I got two kopecks every Thursday from my father for checking the Erev in Chaslavet. So that's Minig Yisrael. And that's why I said, and I think correctly so, that I don't understand the machloket in London. You remember there was a big machloket in Flatbush. Thank God that's quieted down. Borough Park, you see all the Hasidim carrying. They are Mekil, they come from Poland, the Beit Ephraim. So you see Litvish Yeshiva boys not carrying. Live and let live. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein doesn't carry. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik didn't carry. David Appelbaum didn't carry. I have to admit, I came in Aliyah 69, and when I saw Jews with long beards carrying beds through the streets on Shabbos, I said, that's it. I've come to make life easier. So Baruch Hashem, if I'm doing right or wrong, I don't know. Aval yesh al mi lesmoch. I'll put it that way. Now, as far as Great Britain goes, I just want to state for Rabbi Phillips' edification. Come close, I have a cold. I just want to state for Rabbi. Why are you moving away? I just want to state for Rabbi Phillips' edification that I'm not going to argue with you. You live in England, and Baruch Hashem, they let you breathe English air, and you feel Malchut Shel Chesed. I'm not going to go into what England has said about Israel, about the foreign ministry, about the past history. I'll only say one thing, and this you can quote me on. When the Queen of England visits Israel, I will apologize for calling England a country with a terrible anti-Semitic undertone and overtone. She has visited every lech in the world. You know what that means, lech? It's a Yiddish word. It means every hole in the world. But she has not visited Israel. So I stand on what I said. Okay, now I want to get started, and it's a fascinating shiur. So look, what I showed you last week, again, what a printer can do to a publisher is beyond words. With computer programs, they really can't fool around with it. But when they set the type, it's very easy for them to fool around. And the example of the Noda B'Yehuda with the Chassidim and the Paishim is the classic example. Every Talmud Chacham can cite that example, and the Noda B'Yehuda's sense of humor, Ma Beini Levein Chassidim, I turned Poshim into Chassidim, and they turned Chassidim into Poshim. So I showed you the same thing happened with the Chatam Sofer. When he went after the Besamim Rosh in two tshuva, one on suicide, and one second, what was the other one on? On shaving in Chol HaMoed. He went after the Besamim Rosh and wiped the floor with him, and he called him Kizbei HaRosh, the lies of the Rosh, not Besamim. So Labriot, the printer changed it. The printer was bribed by the Maskilim, because you understand the Maskilim were under attack, and they did not want to be subject that the Besamim Rosh, that you're going to call him the Kizbei HaRosh just because he was Matir, just because he understood suicide, just because he permitted shaving. So they bribed the printer to put back Besamim Rosh. But in the editions published today of Teshuvat Chatam Sofer, as I showed you last week, you have Kizbei HaRosh, the original version. Baku Zebra, exactly. It has a tradition, as they say. Now, another tremendous attack on the Besamim Rosh, and one that has tremendous historic overtones, is by the Munkachim, by Rav Chaim Elazar Shapiro, the Shelet Meshuva, the Minchat Elazar. All the Chassidim say the Minchat Lazar, and I don't have to tell you, he was an Adam Gadol. This is Munkach, this is Chadash Asum in the Torah in the full sense of the word. And you don't have to go any further than David Pardo's great-grandparents on his mother's side, from the Munkach area.
That the Munkach is Tish.
Okay, dead.
And he heard him say, see, this thing, I go to this thing, Mizrachis, and Yavashim.
You're going to see it in a minute?
Word for word, he heard
it's no secret. Who the Munkacha was, you're going to hear it in my Monday class when I deal with the follow-up to Satna. Anyway, I'm quoting from Chelek Yimel, Siman Mem Vav. And what's happening here? He's corresponding with another rabbi. The rabbi that he's corresponding with quoted the Besamim Rosh. He goes ballistic. How do you quote the Besamim Rosh? An apikores, a liar, a forger. And the example he gives, the one tshuva that he picks on, is the one about the Gimel Aveira, Jehorek V'Al Yafar. Now, let me just remind you. According to the normative halacha, the halacha we live by, you all know that there are certain shaylas you ask the Beis Din HaGadol, once you don't have a Beis Din HaGadol, once you don't have smich ish mi piyish, certain parts of the Torah are no longer operative. For instance, knas, there's no knas b'zman hazeh. Malkot, there's no malkot b'zman hazeh. Mitat beitin, there's no mitat beitin b'zman hazeh. Now, without going into any great detail, I alluded to this, I spoke about it, a lot has been written about it. Rav Kook wrote about this, and in the State of Israel, so much has been written, Mishpat Bivri, the Rabbanut HaRashit. It doesn't mean that you're going to allow a society to be Hefker. Obviously, the leaders of the society, it's an open Gemara, I quote it to you in Sanhedrin and Yavama, they can take steps for the good of society. We all know the case where someone rode in a horse on Shabbat, and what did they do to him? They executed him. Someone had relations with his wife in a public thoroughfare in a park. They gave him malchut. And all that was done that you should have a proper society. And we all know this is the concept of kippah that Gemara talks about in Sanhedrin. You put someone into a cave, you don't give them food, you let them starve to death. We all know there's a concept of Makot Magdot or Makot Rabbanon, and we have actual cases throughout history. But nevertheless, the heart of corporal punishment and knas is no longer operative because we don't have a Beit Din, we don't have the Beit Nagadol, we don't have the Sanhedrin, we don't have Smicha Ish Mipiyish. Fine. Now, the Besamim Rosh goes and says that when it comes to the three mitzvot, that no longer is operative today because it's dinei nefashot, and if you have to give your life for ritzicha, if someone says to you, kill this person or I kill you, if someone says, worship the idol or I kill you, if someone says, rape this woman or I kill you, you have to give your life. If it's Yoharei V'al Yavah, it could be sometimes to do this it needs a minyan, it has to be Bishat Gezeira, it depends, it could be Bishat Gezeira, even when it's not such a major sin, but no one in the Shas, the Mishainim, and in the whole history of Torah Shabbat Pan, no one said you have to go and ask a Shaila. This is something you do because you're a Jew. And the Minchat Lazer goes crazy with the Besamim Rosh. And he says, and I'm paraphrasing him, this is word by word in the Minchat Lazer. If the Besamim Rosh is correct, he says, Erev Yom Kippur. So many people have questions. Can they fast? Can't they fast? How can you paskin? It's dinei nefashot. If you need a Sanhedrin, if there's no Sanhedrin, you can't paskin. If it's dinei nefashot, if I can quote Rakefet's talk about Ikama, if you recall my introductory words to that shir, pikuach nefesh, according to Reb Chaim, is even one million. So if that's the case, if we can't get a clear psak, no one will be fasting on Yom Kippur. No one. Nachum Lamb, who knows computers inside out, did research, and he found out that if there was statistics, over 1 million people were fasting, and 2 people died of unknown causes, and it seems they died because they were fasting, how can we fast on Yom Kippur? And the Minchat Lazer goes crazy against the Besamim Rosh. Literally, he is bombing him tarte mashma. He's bombing Rav Berlin, Rav Shaul Berlin, and you'll see in a minute he's bombing the city of Berlin. You'll see in a minute why. And I have to tell you that halachically, the Minchat Lazer is absolutely right. When it comes to Shaila fasting, you ask a rabbi, all right. My minig is when I get a Shaila like that, I ask a doctor. David Appelbaum was always my posek. Because I don't understand the intricacies of fasting and the damage and a pregnant woman and a woman who just gave birth. And these are real problems. So I get advice from a medical doctor. But the Ribono Shel Olam, no one in their right mind would say it's a suffix, pikuach nefesh, you're not allowed to ask the shayla because we have no Sanhedrin. And you can go on and on with examples. Someone has to take a long walk on Shabbos. And he wonders, is it mutter, not mutter? He's walking so much, he can get sick, he can get ill, can he carry a bottle of water, he's going chutz l'chum. No, you wind up, you can be mutter every Isser in the Torah, because you'll say to yourself, perhaps there is pikuach nefesh. So that's the halachic attack upon the besamim rosh, and on that level, he is solid, logical, and certainly within the normative halacha that all of us live by. Whether we're, what did this Yitz Rubin just say a minute ago? Whether we're Tzionistim, Agudistim, Mizrachistim, we all live within this normative halacha. But here you come to the insight. And here the Minchat Laza is furious. He says to this rabbi, who the heck was this Schoberlin? Every word is false. It's not that part of the tshuva that correct. Every word is a forgery. None of this was written by the Rush. Who is Schoberlin? He's from the city of Berlin. And he has been led astray, and in the tshuva, you see the name Mendelssohn. Shin Reish Yud. Can anyone tell me what Shin Reish Yud stands for? Shame Rishayim Yirkaf. What did you want to say? May the name of the Russia be blotted out. It's the drasha that Yitzchak just quoted to you, where the Minchat Laza started yelling and shouting, Ephraim, Yemach Shmam. Here in the tshuva, Mendelssohn spelled out Shin Reish Yud. Shem Rishon Yirkaf.
Is
it true historically? Absolutely. He was caught up in that era. Did he know Mendelssohn personally? I doubt it. By this time, Mendelssohn was dead, if I'm correct. If my memory's correct, he died 1783. So he was dead. I wouldn't believe he knew him personally. But it was... Schoberlin certainly lived beyond Mendelssohn, and
so
he published it. I don't know if he knew him personally, but he certainly knew of him, absolutely, and knew if this was shaking the world. This is like a kid from Satma speaking in to Rabbi Rosenzweig Shir in YU.
The
medicine
wasn't as radical as the touch of like the Gemara.
No, you heard Rakepitz lectures. Mendelssohn was the great-grandson of the Ramah. Mendelssohn was caught up in the problem that we're all caught up with, Torah and culture, Torah and civilization. The Jew is out of the ghetto. We have that problem until today. But we would never say, Shem Rishom Yerkab. But this is the Munkacha. He is livid with rage. Then he goes one step further. And here's where Yitz Rubin gave us an overture. Gentlemen, what else did Mendelssohn say in that shiver? Remember, I summarized it for you. See, I know the Minchat Laza by heart. This shiver is unbelievable. What else did he say? No, the Besamim Rosh faced the problem. David, throughout the ages, Jews gave their lives rather than convert. You'd rather than do a major sin. You know that from the Gemara in Gittin. You know the hundreds of boys and girls that were on the boat. You know that Chana b'shiva baneha. We know that Sadi Gimel b'not Yaakov in the Holocaust. So how can the Besamim Rosh say what he said? They didn't ask a shaila. There is no Sanhedrin. How can he say? How can he say what he said? And the Besamim Rosh says, why did they give their lives? To keep the Jewish people separate, not to assimilate among the nations, to return, to retain their identity. Gentlemen, you hear these words? Why did they give their lives? to retain their identity, not to assimilate. Some Roche writing an idea that we wouldn't totally disregard it. It could be that the raison d'etre behind the whole concept of Kiddush Hashem is that the Jews should remain a unique people. You know what the Minchat Lasa sees here? That the Besamim Rosh is a Zionist. He has been influenced by the horrendous Zionist propaganda. And the words are right here in the Tshuva. Listen carefully. Nationalism, their own identity. And he goes crazy. He quotes the Gemara in Beitza, that take your thoughts, throw it on the thorns. You're an idiot. Avol Yisrael Kedoshim and offer the Pume de Messiah for Omele and offer the Pume, may he drop dead, may dust cover his mouth.
Who's he talking about?
Shaul Berlin. That it's not because of God's commandment that they're giving their lives, but shaloli hitamot ben hagoyim, kainu rak shalola beit halumiyut shel goy Yisrael, shezed derech ha-nationalism, ha-tzionishtiism, that this illness has spread in our generation. And he goes on and on. How do you quote him? How do you say his name? And he attacks, he says, he quotes Reb Shlomo Eger, who quotes him in one of his Haggad, and he says it's a mistake. Shtagah yatsam iti hashalit. He quotes the Maimon Chazal, that anyone quoting the Besamim Rosh, Shem Rishon Yirkov, Yemach Shlomo Zichro, a naturalist, a Zionist, wipe him out. Don't even quote him. What an attack. Now, I have to admit.
Can you explain about the Gemara in Beitza? What's there that he quotes?
He quotes and he did that. Well, someone said a svara, and they said to him, throw it on the thorn bush. That's all he's quoting. It's a very sharp Gemara where you're saying, get rid of it. It doesn't make sense. Gentlemen, let me tell you something. To be totally intellectually honest, Lefa'amim hakanu'ut mavira et ha'adam al daito. I'll give you a simple example. An example that's right in this classroom. A book came out on Reb Moshe Sherry. You all know the story of how Reb Moshe Sherry gets Eliyahu Esas out. Rakepet's name is not even mentioned. And it winds up a whole story with Gromyko. Right, remember what we spoke about when I quoted? There's only one problem. Nachum Lam checked it out. I had other reasons for doubting it, but Nachum Lam checked it out. Gromyko stepped down, kicked out as foreign minister, July 2nd, 1986. This whole story about the all-powerful Gromyko was in November of 86. In November of 86, Gromyko had as much power as a dead Chinaman trying to climb a hill in Japan to escape the radioactive traces of the explosion. Now, there's nothing to laugh at, gentlemen, it is very sad. Now, you see, the Minchat Laza hates Zionism with a passion.
But there was no Zionism at this time.
Ah, it's an anachronistic egg. He is attributing to the Besamim Rosh in the 1780s what's going on in the 1880s, the 1890s, the 1900s. So I have to tell you, in all honesty,
maybe give us the dates for this character.
I don't have the dates in front of me, but he died in the mid-30s. You can check it out. Anyone has a computer, go to the internet, check out the Munkacha. He died in the mid-30s. and he probably was born in the 1860s. It's an educated guess. It can be checked out in a minute. You have the Jewish encyclopedia, you have the Encyclopedia Judaica at home. Look up Shapiro, look up Minchat Telazza in the...
That much
they can't do. But you see, if you tell me that we have to drop bombs on Berlin because Reb Shaul Berlin was led astray by Mendelssohn and his cohorts and everything happening in Berlin in the 1780s, the 1790s, it's not that I agree, but it logically makes sense. But if you accuse him, Atzionista, Alumi, Anoisvach, oh my gosh, that didn't exist then. He is reading into it the battles he is fighting in the early 1900s. He is committing an anachronistic crime, and he's simply translating his reality to 120, 130 years earlier. Okay? So you can agree or disagree with the Minchat Lazza, but certainly the attack, if you want to execute Rav Shaul Berlin for being a follower of Mendelssohn, fine. If you want to execute him for being a follower of Herzl, there's one little problem. Herzl was first born in 1860, and Rav Shaul Berlin died in the 1790s. Yes, yes, Josh.
Is it entirely incredulous to say that he was already seeing the inklings of nationalism replacing religion and Judaism, or it's not?
No, it's too early.
Mendelssohn himself.
Just the opposite. When Mendelssohn comes out of the ghetto, and it's a tremendous question, and this question follows to the Rav Shmuel Phil Hirsch. They were so Germanized. Were they really Jewish nationals of Israel? Or were they totally at home in alien culture? And if anything, you can accuse Rav Shaul Berlin of giving up nationalism, wanting to be part of the non-Jewish world. But you can't accuse him of being a Zionist, the nationalist. You follow? Because there's a reality. You can't make Gromyko powerful in November when he was kicked out like a dog earlier that year, 7-8 months earlier. Yes?
How can he be critical of the Gilead Marashab and not Rabbi Kida Eger, who was some...
No, I'm just saying that, take a look, he's critical, whoever quotes him, and he opens his mouth, and probably because the person corresponding with him quoted it, so he's referring to that. Yes?
It's more than that, too. You can understand the Vayol Moshe now, because if you're that critical of Zionism in the 30s, that you think that Rochelle Berlin is one, then certainly after the Holocaust, you look back on it, and the first thought that pops into your mind is this is because of the Zionists.
We'll come to all that. Have a wait till you hear the start of tomorrow's show. Wait till you hear what happened to me. You don't realize your Rebbe became a hero. No one ever wrote a 6-column article on yours truly with a 3-column picture with such adoration. And we'll deal with it. We'll deal with it tomorrow. Now, okay, Yitzchak, you with it? Okay, yeah. You have the date, so you don't have the date.
No, I wanted to look up at which sermon the issue of Yahweh or Yahweh was.
Oh, I said that. I don't want to start going back.
Okay,
you found it. Okay. Gentlemen, I want to switch gears now. I want to come back to something I said many months ago. I said it rather quickly, and I don't know if you could appreciate it then, but you certainly will be able to appreciate it now. What a look at the B'Samer Rosh was so bad, so rotten. How come they republished him twice? How come people quote the Sefer? How come people just don't see what a farce this is? My dear students, who supported the B'Samer Rosh? The greatest Gedolim from the Sephardic world. It is amazing. I'll show you sources in a minute. The greatest Gedolim. They supported the B'Samer Rosh. One has to ask why. Okay, the fact that he's Ashkenazi, their Svadi is not a question. When we learn Rambam and we learn Raivin and we learn Ramban, we're dealing with Svadim. There's interaction, cross-fertilization, whatever word you want to use. Why? There are two tremendous reasons. Traditionally, the Svadim have always been more lenient in Pesach than the Ashkenazim. I've quoted to you Mori Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, time and again, where the Rav said, all the kulas the Svadim have are not worth their one chumrah. And of course, that's Galat Kosher, the Beis Yosef, the Sirchas. You know, the Rav came from a world where they ate, they paskin, dealt with the Sirchas, and said, kosher a treif. To be makpan and glat kosher cost a fortune of money. It's a difficult chumrah. Whenever a Svadi traveled in Europe, about all he could eat were chickens, not meat. Okay. But one thing is for sure, outside of that particular psak, right down the line, the Svadim are more makir. And their poskim were not hesitant. Lahakel. And there are endless examples. It's not important now. So if you quote the Besamim Rosh that he came up with the Kula, it doesn't shake the Svadim. They are used to fulfilling the dictum in the Gemara in Chulim Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Makom Hinichu Lo Avotav Lihit Gader Bo. You've all heard that Gemara. We learn it's such an important Gemara. The Gemara raises the issue: how can we be mechadesh? How can a dummy like Rakefet come along and say something that no one said before? And over the years, it happens. And you say to yourself, gee, who am I? What am I? Who gives me the chutzpah to say this? But this is the secret of Torah Shabbat Peh. Makom hinichu lo avatov lehit gadeh. But look up the Gemara, you'll see. So the Svadim were not blown away when someone came along and was innovative in his thinking. That's number one. Much more important, number two. The Ashkenazim lost it. The Svadim never lost it. We went out of the ghetto in Germany. The moment Moshe Mendelssohn left the ghetto, the Ramaz great-grandson, we have struggled until today. How do we balance out living in two worlds? And it's a tremendous struggle. And this struggle until recently has been totally an Ashkenazic struggle. It's in the Ashkenazic world that Rav Hirsch told him Derech Eretz. It's in the Ashkenazic world that Herzl began Zionism. The offshoot, of course, is Mizrahi, religious Zionism. I go to Israel afterwards. The Ashkenazic world, that anything you mention. Where did Turo begin? Where did Lander College begin? Where did Machon Leib begin? The Svadim were insulated. They were in the Mellor. They had a ghetto-like society. They essentially were not affected by the outside world. One country, where were the Svadim affected more than anyone else? Egypt. Why in Egypt? Because Egypt is international with the Suez Canal. You had all the Europeans there. So they saw already, Visa Kritzels Lechazei Yidlzich. You know what the non-Jews do? The Jews started emulating. I just got today, and I'll show it to you tomorrow. I want to show it to my wife. Dancing with the Stars. What's that about? You dance with stars, you pay money, raise funds. They're having in Los Angeles now, where David Pardo is ashamed to admit he comes from.
Not at all.
You better be ashamed. They're dancing with the rabbis. Elliot Dorf, the head of the seminary there, and others, and they're dancing with women, that the young women that aren't there. Why? God have mercy on it comes with a picture, Yitzchak. In that picture, there's no handkerchief. God have mercy on us. Rabbis, they said the influence of the outside world. The Sfadim were not under this influence. They lived in Arabic countries. The Arabs are religious. The Arabs are pious. The Arabs may be called fanatics, if you wish. They had their laws. They didn't drink wine. They didn't drink liquor. The Jews had their laws. And they were not affected. This entire upheaval did not affect them. And therefore, the Sephardic posting had no inkling of what was troubling the B'Samen Rosh. How could they understand suicide, modernity, being part of the big world, philosophy, driving on Shabbos, this place, eating non-Jewish wine, drinking non-Jewish wine, eating non-Jewish cheese. Well, this played no role in the Sephardic world. And they could not understand the inherent danger in the B'Samen Rosh. And it's fascinating, this total Ashkenazi from Berlin, his biggest defenders are from the Eidot HaMizrach. Now, it's go a drop further. Just
they discover his book?
If people quote it, what do you mean? It was published three times already, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s. Now, I just want to go one drop further for the sake of historic and intellectual honesty. You know when this problem hit the Sfardim? When they came to Eretz Yisrael. Suddenly they were uprooted. And here you had a ruling class of Ashkenazim who were bent, committed to uprooting the concept of religion. Whatever religion there would be in Israel would be part of the nationalism. In other words, many of the Mapainikim didn't eat Kasa, didn't eat Chametz on Pesach, but they didn't eat to show their Jews. It's like a Irishman drinks on St. Patrick's Day. So a Zionist Jew drinks Dalet Kol Sot, Leil HaSeder. It's not religion, it's not halacha, it's not Davar Hashem. And here there was that tremendous counterculture clash. With me, Ephraim? Let me go one step further. It's another part of the culture class. When you have this culture battle, it takes many decades to develop a rabbinate that can speak the language of the land. Rabbis by nature are the most conservative people in the world with a small C. Why? Ask yourself why. I'll talk about myself. I'm heading towards the second Siyum Shasfiyas, Rav Hashem Yitbarach. So what am I learning? I'm learning texts that were written 1700 years, 1600 years ago. What am I dealing with? I'm living in the past. I'm not connected to what's going on. I don't even know what Dancing with the Stars means. I only deciphered a little bit from the article. I told you, Bisikritzes, the Chazay Yitzhak, all the Narishkeit from America reaches the TV here. But I have to tell you, I'm Tchelet. My grandson, let me interject for 1 minute. My grandson gave us 24 episodes of Hechatzer. Malka and I, my wife is mad at me that I don't let her listen to more than one, or sometimes I just have to give in and let her hear two episodes tonight. It is fabulous. A Hasidic court, a Hasidic Rebbe, the children, the problems, the inner workings of the court. And I can listen to this, the Gabbai. Oh, do I love that Gabbai. David, I want you to see Hechatzer, to see the Gabbai. And when you're finished watching it, I'm making you officially my Gabbai. I'm going to raise funds to pay you a salary. You follow? That the Hechatzer. It is in Tchelet. So we have to give credit to the Israeli TV. What Rakepit spoke about in the early 70s in Michlala, that we need schools to produce religious scriptwriters, actors, politicians. Baruch Hashem, look what went on last week when the head of the Mossad, wears a kippah, the press went crazy. But they didn't win. There are many who answered them. It's a different world today. But the Sfadim paid the price. And it takes decades to develop rabbis who can have influence, who can understand the conflict. It happened in America. It took us 100 years to create American Orthodox rabbis who would be Gedolei Yisrael in Torah and could speak the language of the land. It's happening here. You have in the Israeli rabbinate. You have among the Sfadim. Who would ever dream that Rabbi Ovadia Yosef's daughter would open up a college for Haredim? You just think. Who would ever dream that you have so many different programs and today you have Sfadim, Eitot HaMizrach integrated. And in the Mizrahi world you have interethnic marriage. I don't have to tell this class about interethnic marriage. Can I inherit? Danny? Inter-ethnic marriage. We're not Haredim. Haredim still live in the ghetto with their negative attitude. Now, you know, I don't want to repeat their words. Every Sfadi who I have a hot talk with says, you know, Atayodeya machshivim oti lo yotech bin nishmer. They'll say to me in Yiddish, via Frank. I say, Ata? Frank. Let me not tell you. You know what the word kank means? It's a derogatory word. Like you use.
From North America, were under the influence of the French, because the French was a colony of France, so they called them like Frenchmen in a derogatory sense.
In Israel, that's one of the first Hebrew words I learned here. I was in Yeshivat Hebron, and I hear this guy say, "Es nicht mehr wie Frank." So I looked at him, the Rambam, the Rabbi. The Ramban?
You know what the boys at my mommy's school called the school? Maimo.
Maimo.
Can you imagine calling the Ramban Maimo?
American kids. Now, yeah, okay.
When they're approaching both sides, when they approach the summer, they're not using historical books. The Ashkenazim are saying, this is a problem, so it couldn't have been the Rush who wrote it. And I'm saying it's not historical, so it couldn't be. And the Sfardim are saying it's not a problem, so the Rush could have written it.
Well, you see, the Sfardim couldn't see beneath the surface, because their nose was not attuned to the problems of Haskalah coming out of the ghetto. So they're willing to accept, this is what the Rush said, don't get excited, and he's like, cool, make kill here, make kill there. It's within the tradition.
But the Ashkenazim are doing the same thing, basically. They're saying, oh, because it's being made, so that way we know that it's not.
I would rather stress the point I'm making. That if you don't know the era, it's very hard to bomb Berlin if you don't know why you have to curse Berlin. And the Minchat Lazer, you know, he went crazy. He overdid it. But he has a score to settle. You heard what Yitzchak said. It's a famous quote. They have him on recorded saying that. I once heard it. Check it out. The Zionistim, the Mizrachistim, the Agudistim, you know. Mom is
a crumb. The Santa has a special paragraph just on the good, how he cuts them up because they are traitors.
They are traitors. He's absolutely right. From his point of view, they deserve to be cut up. Take my word for it.
It's a movie. It's Mukhtar's daughter's wedding.
I spoke about it. That's what I told Yitzchak. Don't you remember
she
when...
She told him not to go to America.
That's why Yitzchak said to me, why do you quote the Mukhtar, which said, sure. Excuse me. First of all, I love the Mukhtar's tshuva. He's so innovative. It's unbelievable. When it comes to Yontif Sheni, He throws out the Shulchan Aruch, black and white. He joins with Rav Chaim Brisker, joins with the Chacham Tzvi. And if you're a Munkacha Chassid, you observe 2 days in Chutz Laretz and 1 day here. So that's the first reason. But I told Yitzchak, never forget what I said. That movie, The Munkacha, on the way to his daughter's wedding, what was it, 1933, I believe.
Yeah.
And they tell him, Rebbe, we're making a movie for America. And remember, what would you have said? Many great rabbanim, it marks for America, you would make an appeal right away for money. My entire Ibrid in America, Gili, I'll translate, my dear brothers in America, Vergesst nicht eure Brüder in Europa. Don't forget your brothers in Europe. Min darf haben Stitzerei für mich. We need help, sustenance, support. You know what the Munkacha said?
Yeah.
Jews, remember Shabbos. Don't be Mechalel Shabbos. And he started to cry. That's why I'm a shtickler Munkacha Chassid. You understand? A little bit. Yes, God, you lack broadness. And I've been trying to give it to you for so many years. Michael, how do you deal with him? Give him a little broadness. I know, the movie ends with the Chalut. That's why I wrote my book, From Washington Avenue to Washington.
I have to be careful what I say, because people, like my correspondents, they...
What are you talking about? When I come into my shtibble, I daven in Borough Park, and my friends there greet me. They say to me, that Rabbi Rubin in your class, is he Orthodox or conservative? So you see, you build yourself a reputation. But with the Munkacha, you have to have a little feeling for what the man said. Look, that they were, you know, hessed upon him, they were wrong on other topics.
Did he know Rav Chaim?
No. No, he was in Hungary, Rav Chaim was in Brisk. I don't think they ever met. I don't think that. Rav Buzna just met Rav Elyashiv for the first time. Two men, one over 100, one approaching 100. They never met before a few weeks ago. It's in the whole Haredi press. Yeah. And then Rav Buzna went to see Rav Avadja, and I have my own theory on that. He knows how to learn Rav Buzna, and he knows Rav Avadja's right. This thing, but anyway, it's not for now. All right, let me Geirut, the retroactive annulment of the boss.
Vansalem is speaking about it.
Who's speaking?
They're having a conference, and Rav Vansalem is speaking about Giyur.
Rav
Vansalem.
Beit HaRav Kook. You know who built Beit HaRav Kook? Harry Fishel. Okay, be aware. That's why you money, Beit HaRav Kook. Okay, gentlemen, how do I know that the Sfardim are the ones who gave the Besamim Rosh support? No? One of the greatest Sfardim ever, the Chida, Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai. So I'm quoting from Hishem HaGedolim. And you all know, let me say a few words that is. Lahagon HaGadol HaChasid HaMafursam Chaim Yosef David Azulai. Now let me just say a few words about Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He was a meshulach, as we say. Unfortunately, the Jews in Israel have always been poor. I remember a few years ago, when the economic crisis broke, I came back from America, my annual trip, in the middle of the year, and Rav Bednash said a good word. He said to his students, Rav Rakepet is the only person, only Rav who went to America who came back smiling. So they asked him, what do you mean? Everyone else went to raise funds. And I went to teach a little Torah, so I don't have to raise funds, you know. The kollel is falling apart anyway, but no one has asked me to raise funds. I think, I worry that that may be what their ultimate goal is. But I don't have to raise funds, Baruch Hashem. The Chida traveled all over the world. He was a meshulach, he was a fundraiser. He lived off the funds he raised. He kept a certain percentage. I don't have to tell you how many shuvot have been written on what percentage of funds you're allowed to keep when you raise. I don't want to tell you what the Rabbi Yashiv's psak was because I faint when I think of it. Okay. Now, what did he do when he traveled? The Chida was like a PhD from Bernard Revel Graduate School. Wherever he traveled, he looked for manuscripts. He had an uncanny feeling for manuscripts. So wherever he went, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula, he knew all of Shas and Paiskim by heart. That goes without saying. But wherever he went, he recorded what he saw. He later, among his tens and tens and tens of Svarim, he put out the Shem HaGadolim. There are a number of versions of Shem HaGadolim, but this is the Chidah. And in there he has Svarim and he has Kitvei Yad. And in Marechet Svarim, page Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, 127 Aleph, he has the Besamim Rosh. And he accepts at face value everything that Rav Shaul Berlin wrote. He said the Besamim Rosh was recently published in Berlin. It has Shin Tzadi Bet Shuvat HaRash from Shah Gedolim who lived at that time. And this is a sefer that was put together HaRav HaGadol Malat Kvaldo HaRav Rav Yitzchak Di Molina Zal. You follow? He accepts the whole story about this Italian wealthy man finding a manuscript, buying in a manuscript, and he put it together, kept the manuscript, and Rav Shaul Berlin located it and added footnotes called Kasa da Hasana. So here you have a description of the Besamim Rosh like a catalog card. Like you go into the library, you look up the author, what his book is about, fine. And then he has a hyphen. it indicates he's breaking the chain of thought. V'yashmacharai kol ra'ash, I've heard a thunderstorm. Ki yesh b'sefer zeh k'tzat devarim zarim. That the sefer has some strange statements in it. Tell me, what did people say who supported Rav Shaul Berlin? That these strange statements were put in by Rav Yitzchak Di Molina, Yesh Lachush Shehosif Vigara. And he added, subtracted. Ulechena Koreg B'Sefer Zeh Lo Yismach Alav. Anyone who studies this book shouldn't depend upon it. The Efshad Tavlu Buki Slirikei B'Gedolim is an expression they tie together empty bags of water, bags that are worthless. They tie it on to the hands of Gedolei Yisrael. You can't depend upon this Sefer. And people have been warned, don't use the tshuva talacha l'maaseh until you check it out carefully, study it, and see whether it is correct. Okay? So far, it's a very balanced point of view. The Besamim Rosh, he loves it. He accepts it. But he said, I did hear that people questioned it. Then evidently, much later, he adds on a new paragraph. V'achazman ra'iti b'tzpus divrei hagon ha'gadol ha'masfursam reish metifta v'yabetan dakal k'kedisha Berlin malaku k'vodo ha'rab rab tzvi hirsh. That's the father of Shaul Berlin, that he wrote, that he heard people speak against the Sefer, and he got up and totally refuted their critiques. and he testified, no one played with this manuscript. It is legitimate. It was in my house for 10 years before my son published it. And he Haduta. This beautiful testimony tells us you can rely upon the Sefer. The has an abbreviation here, which I believe stands for the Poner Umatzel B'Divrei Torah Elohim. That what Shaul Berlin did. He found the Sefer. He saved it from obscurity. He brought it to life. He gave it to the Torah world. And if his father says it's reliable, you can absolutely depend upon his father, the great Gaon, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Berlin. So this is the chida b'chvodo u'biatzmo, signing off on the B'Samim Rosh. One great gaon adir from the olam shel eidot hamizrach. He signs on the dotted line, lekaver u'letiferet. You can quote and you can depend upon the B'Samim Rosh.
What year was he?
The Chida was in the 1800s.
He was a Grah, I
believe. I think he was later than the Grah, because here he's writing. Yeah, here he's writing, about a Sefer that came out in 17, what did we say it was first published, 1793, and he's writing, about it as if it's been accepted, as though the literature on it. I think he's later than the ground.
Before the whole thing with the Chatam Sofer.
It's before the Chatam Sofer, that's for sure. You know where he's buried. He was he died in Italy. He was buried in Italy, and in the early years of the state, they transferred his remains to Har HaMenuchot, and it's right at the entrance. And you'll see Chodesh Elul, tens of thousands go to daven at his grave, the Chidah HaKodesh. Tremendous respect and hokara in the Sfatic world. Baruch Atah Melech Olam Shekol.
He published his travel diaries, I think, Masar Rav Kook.
My God.
Yeah, there's no end to the Sfarim he has published. There may even be Kitzvei Yad that are left. He was unbelievably dexterous with his pen. His knowledge, he wrote Svarim, Shelet, and Shuva, his knowledge of Shas and Paiskin was overwhelming. All right, yeah, we
so
need
he
a...
passed away in 1807.
1807, that was right. He went into the early, that makes sense. Thank you. 1807, he died. So it's just as I said, beyond the Gong, but before the Chatam Sofer's fame. No, we need an age, Shani. Who do you think? Who was the greatest Baki in the Sfadic world? The 19th century, his glory goes from one end to the other. Reb Chaim Chizkiyahu Medini, the Stei Chemet, the Rav of Hebron. Now, I just have to tell you something. Maybe I'm throwing out a challenge. He knew everything. Not only did he know everything, but he was cognizant of the newspapers that were published. The 1800s already, you had newspapers. Whenever there was a halachic discussion in a newspaper, he cited it. If you're familiar with the Stei Chemet, what is it, like 10 volumes? It is an overwhelming source book. He has a world of information. But he has too much. The problem is, how do we index it? grapple. A number of attempts have been made, particularly you have to give credit to Chabad. Chabad, one edition of the State Feminist, a Chabad edition with a bit of an index, etc. Why was Chabad interested in the State Feminist? Exactly. Hebron Me'az Umitamid had been a Chabad city. The Rabbonim of Hebron were from the Slanim family. They were massacred in 29. That's from the Alter Rebbe's family. So that Chabad and the Eidat HaMizrach, who lived in Hebron, were interlocked basically into one community with mutual respect and love. And Chabad had great affinity and reverence for the Steichemid. And I'll add on one thought, a Rakefet thought. You can agree or disagree. This is why after the Six-Day War, when the Jewish world was in an apocryphal feeling, had the Lubavitcher Rebbe come in Aliyah to Hebron, I believe that Israel today would be, if not 99%, Shomrei Torah Mitzvot, 90%. Ah, what the Rebbe would have accomplished here. And I throw that out, of course. It's like Tova Lichtenstein raises the question, had her father been elected chief rabbi of Tel Aviv in 35, everyone, what would it have done to him? Rakefet's viewpoint, he would have become the greatest gift to the Jewish people here. What would have been here? The man's ability, the challenge, how he would have grown, how he would have reacted. It would have been another Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Oh, what Rebbe would have become in Tel Aviv, Rabbati, with the challenges of modern Zionism, Holocaust, ingathering of the exiles. If, what a word, the longest, most beautiful word in the dictionary. But unfortunately, Rakefet dances for joy. And you will see it in his new book, that the Rav was not elected in 35 for one simple, selfish, self-centered, egotistical reason. I was able to get on a bus on Washington Avenue at 180th, 36, ride 20 minutes, get off on Amsterdam Avenue and 181st. Turn right, walk 5 little blocks, open the door, turn left, go to room 102, take my seat, and a few minutes later, Moriya Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, the Einikul of Rab Chaim, the Einikul of Rabbi Elia Pluzhana, walked in and taught a little dummy like myself, Torah Hashem Tamima. So am I fair? No, I'm not fair. Same thing with a Chabadnik. He would smack my face. He would give me a little juice and charge me for seltzer and say to me, you Oisvaf, the Rebbe had gone to Hebron, where would I be today? Thank God he stayed on Eastern Parkway. Nevertheless, I stand on my if. You follow me, Danny? Had the Rebbe gone to Hebron, oh, what would it have been? Now, I got to tell you, the Steichemid, the amount of information in there, you should open up the Steichemid, familiarize yourself with him. It's also a problem when you're quoting, there are two editions that are circulating. I'm quoting from the Chabad edition, Chelik Tet, Steichemid, Chelik Tet, page 150, Klalei HaPoskim Siman Yur Aleph Sif Katan Zion. Look it up. He's talking about various svarim. Talking about the Rush. Klalei HaPoskim. Everything you can imagine about the Rush. And then he gets in Zion, Sefer B'Samim Rosh, Rabim V'Nechmadim Naktei B'Pshitot Duhumei HaRash. He says, many giants of Torah, many sweet individuals, swear that this Sefer is from the Rash. And then he gives you a list, a third of the page, with his unbelievable bekiyot. I mean, it's frightening. This is like a Rav Avadya Yosef. It's frightening what a human mind can know. Gives you a list of something like 30 svarim who quote the B'Samim Rosh b'dechilu urechimu. Bechilu Rechimu, with me, a rabbinic expression. How would you say it in modern Hebrew? Mitzatatim oto b'yirat hakavod. Yirat hakavod. Bechilu Rechimu. How do you say it in English? I don't know. In English,
with reverence and awe.
People use that English, they throw them out of the classroom with reverence and awe. Okay.
Well, what do you want to say? With fright?
No. That's say though, with submission. With submission. But you're right, reverence and awe is Bechilu Rechimu. But these are Svarim, we don't even know what they are. And they're quoting the B'Samim Rosh. And then he goes on that he quotes the Chidah and he says that the Chidah quotes him too with great respect. And yes, some of the criticism has been that the Rush contradicts himself. What you find in the B'Samim Rosh to a Tshuvat HaRosh. So of course, here you get involved in a question that I'm going to devote many weeks to next year. Be'ezrat Hamatein Le'yov Koach. When a posek contradicts himself, who do you follow? You know how much has been written about this question? No, tell me, how many times did you find the Rambam contradicting himself? Mishnah Torah, and then you find Tshuvat HaRambam. Right or wrong? Haisha Niknaisha, a woman is married three different ways. Kesav Shtar Bia. Shtarim Bia Midva Torah, and Kesav Midivrei Sofer. No, you can jump out of your box. How do you learn out Kesav? Kicha Kicha Misteya from. How do you learn out Shtar? Katva v'natala. Sefer Krita. How do you learn Bia? Ubala. Fine. But wait a minute. Isn't what you learn out from a Gezeirat Shavah considered a Din D'Oraita? How does the Rambam differentiate between Shtar and Bia and Kesef? You know how much has been written on that question? The Unfinished Symphony. I'll show you a book devoted entirely to that question, and Hitler, Yemach Shmov Zikro, didn't allow the Rav in Holland to finish it. He killed him. Of Neubau. I yet knew his widow. She lived up the block from me on Rav Berlin. No? Rav Avram Ben Arambam comes along and says, my father revised his Mishnah Torah, and in the final edition, Kesef Shtam Bir or Midva Torah, he doesn't differentiate. Where's the real Rambam?
Can you trust the son of the Rambam?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, not beside that, you'll see variant readings.
What's the Frankel edition?
Frankel edition, you have variant readings. The classic writing is what I said originally. But you have variant readings. Look into Franklin back, you'll see a long list of svarim that deal with that. I don't know if he has Rav Neubauer, because I don't know if Franklin had no feeling for scholarship.
Doesn't have feeling for a few things.
Scholarship and other things, correct. Which is a crime, mamish criminal. Mamish a correct crime. But, all right, name malasa. There are many more examples. Let that suffice for now. So if someone contradicts himself, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a forgery. All it implies is that the Mechaber changed his mind. All right? And you see that all the time. When you come to Gerit and you come to Reb Moshe, I once gave a shiur in New York before Gedolei Yisrael, and I gave a shiur that the only topic on which you see Reb Moshe changed his mind is Gerit. And I showed the whole development. And people kissed me afterwards. The big Talmud Chacham said in public, I always intuitively felt that, but you illustrate it. This is a human being, it's only natural. And the Rav, doesn't Reb Heschel bring down with the grape juice that at one time the Rav was opposed to grape juice for Kiddush? Machlokes, Reb Moshe is Matir, and Reb Horowitz of New Haven is Asai, said Reb Horowitz is a bigger lamb than my cousin. And then in later years, he was making. There are more examples. You understand? The age is also a factor. Health is also a factor. I know that I'm makpid only to drink grape juice at the Seder. So you'll say to me, the Rambam, you're right. But at my age, what I've seen in my life, people getting drunk, I want to be able to do a Seder properly. So I'll be yotzei a little bit less than Lamahadrin Meina Mahadrin. But you have to have a feeling. It's a din the Rabbanon, exactly. I once had a very fancy lady, one of the few people in the world related to Rabbi Rebel at my Seder. She got drunk after the first class, many years ago. And from that time on, I've never allowed enough. When my children come, they get mad at me. They bring good wine, sweet wine, whatever. But what can I do? All right. So, because there's a contradiction, and I have to tell you, this is a very interesting question. No, why don't you give me a simple answer? Why don't you say, Rebbe, what's the big deal? Which tshuva did he write last? Right? Yeah, so no, what's the problem? Generally speaking, no one but no one left the date. This is why Reb Moshe's tshuva, Reb Avadya's tshuva, this is why in modern times you have to kiss Reb Moshe's fingernails that he dates every tshuva. Because you can see what he thought in Europe, what he thought when he first came to America, what he thought after he came to America. It's fabulous. But among the Rishonim, I'll give you another example. Gentlemen, how many of you have learned the sugya of Hafkat Kedushin? Hafkat Kedushin. You all learned the Gemara in Gittin. You've all learned the Gemara in Ketuvah. You've the Gemara in Baba Batra. Gabriel? No? Who was the greatest Rishon who wrote the greatest amount of Chubot? The Rashba. Today you have edited editions. Am I right or wrong? You're living... You guys are in a dream world. What you have, you got to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you were born at this time. When we picked up a Tshuva of Hashba, we shivered, we shook. Today, it's taking candy from a baby or giving candy to a baby. Look at it that way. No? What is the Rashba's opinion on Hafkat Kedushin? No one but no one can give a definitive answer. He contradicts himself, Gilly, black and white. No dates. So what are you going to do? You're going to parcel out the Rashba? Chas v'chalil. You see, what the Stei Chemed is saying here is that the fact that you find the contradiction is not exactly a reason to negate, abrogate, critique the Summon Rosh. And then he quotes the Chidar, exactly what we quoted. And he quotes the fact that his father supported him. And nevertheless, we see there's a tremendous machloket. And we see that the Chatam Sofer criticized him. With all that he quotes of those Ashkenazim, he ends off in typical Sephardic fashion. Anam, anan bididan, he says. We remain with what we said. We support the B'Semen Rosh 100%. B'Galatlo Adivri Agon B'Kal Kodesh Berlin. When we see what his father said about him, when we see what the Chidah said about him, now he's paraphrasing the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Remember where the Gemara talks about if you had lived, this in Chelek, if you had lived at the time of idol worship, you would have grabbed onto my coat and run after me to worship the idols. He paraphrases that Gemara. Nakit b'shipulei galimei. Ki ha-sefer hazeh hein kol yaka kulo omer kavod. Wow. This sefer is precious. Entirely honorable. But you would have to run afterwards. Hold on to it. Lismoch, you can depend upon it. Al kein divrei sefer haTorah hazeh, it's like a sefer Torah, b'lishum chashash u'pikpuk, without any hesitancy, without any doubt whatsoever. So you see what's developing here? You see how right I was in my analysis? The Ashkenazim were choking. Ein av meir al bano. So his father testified. Gemara in Avodah Zarah, right at the start. What's it? Gimel amud beis. I believe. Ein av meir al bano. How could a father know? You'll ask me about the sons I don't have when I talk about my students. Wow. You saw what I called Josh Gilden in front of over 100 people. The golden boy. I love my students. They're tzaddikim. They're chassidim. They're ga'inim. Can you depend upon Rakefet? Ein av meyir al beno, v'ein rav meyir al tamido. What can I tell you?
So that means Rav Moshe's letter about the vote in 1935 really couldn't help him.
You know it didn't help him. They said it didn't help at all, absolutely. But you understand the Ashkenazim, so the Noda B'Yehuda, so you know, with Haskamah. I have to tell you, a big Talmud Chacham called me, looking for a job in Israel. So he wanted me to listen to a shiur of his. I told him, I don't have time to listen. I said, I know you, but I understand he wants me to hear how good he is. I know he's good. But when you give haskama, you don't have time to read. You know, you give haskama, we're all caught up in our own life. Not only that, you got to remember, you don't have responsibility yet. All right, Jesse has to answer to his wife. Fine, one generation. His parents are how many miles from here? Okay, you grow older, Baruch Hashem. I'm walking in town today, I met my grandson. I beat the hell out of him that he doesn't invite me to come see my great-grandson. He's busy in college, he was walking through. You understand? Then from later this morning, I went to my mother. In other words, today I basically have been involved with five generations of living humans, part of the Rakefet family. You're busy. You don't have time. The Noda B'Yehuda has to say Shiurim, has to Paskin Shailas, has to answer Tshuvot. All right, so his cousin came out with a book. No, I want to ask you, you have any reason to be Choshesh, your cousin, the son of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Berlin? Your cousin who's Baki and Shasim Paiskim? So he gave Haskama. The Ashkenazim would not accept it. Summon Rosh, at worst is an oisvaf, a bum. How do you say that in Sephardic language? A pushtak? A what? A company is here to share. In the army, they taught me pushtak. Did you use the word pushtak?
No, never.
Why not? You don't know any pushtak? Well, yeah, pushtak. They told me it means a bum in Turkish. Yeah, it's worse than that.
Yeah,
his mother is machmir. You understand? At best, the B'Samer Rosh is questionable. You can't be Samer. The Sfadim did not have these problems. And the Sfadim, you see, because they weren't exposed to this big world out there, they're more naive. They're more accepting.
After the poem.
One second.
Haskalah didn't move into North.
What are you talking about? Haskalah, if it crawled, it crawled in slightly, but forget about the Jews. The Mohammedans didn't want Haskalah. So if the Islamic people didn't take Haskalah, the Jews didn't face the tragedy.
In 1840 you have the thing in Damascus.
Right.
Then you have the Alliance Israeli.
Right,
in
Paris.
And they start building up schools and all that. Yeah,
no.
Say the Yiddish kinder.
There's no question.
They brought in Haskalah, no?
They brought in Haskalah, but that was very, very limited. You have to study the history. It never took off the way it took off in Ashkenazic circles. It never took off with massive Chilul Shabbos. It never took off with Tarfas. It never took off with Zionism. All this is missing in the spot.
Zionism among North African Jews?
Of course not. Zionism is a recent invention. They never heard of it. 1890, 1900, 1910, 1920. They never heard of it. Later, they got caught up with the big world, so to a little bit Zionism rubbed off on them. A little. Yes, Ephraim.
May I ask a side question? You mentioned earlier that
Khalak, khalak, yeah.
How come like a lot of Ashkenazim don't eat the Tarah and don't rely on
Asfari and Mehadrin Israel? Why the Ashkenazim don't? Because there's a difference the way they check the Sirchus. And that you can ask Rabbi Miller, he can explain to you, maybe even has a diagram, how they pinch it, how soon they pinch it. But I got to tell you, in Israel, the Ashkenazim have gone into a world of Chumrah, the Litvisha, that is a little bit, I don't want to use a strong word, but our forefathers never dreamt of it. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a problem. That's why I asked the boys in America, do the Eidot HaMizrach use the OU? Are they Samach on the glut kosher of the OU? And I don't know, do they or don't they, Gilly?
I don't think so. I was talking to Simi Shaka, he said that the OU's Sumeth on a lot of...
They rubbed them off like the Ramah.
Yeah.
And the Svadim would parcel that out?
Yeah.
There was an attempt, I remember, in Two Gardens Hills, because there are a lot of people parties there.
Yeah.
They tried to open a Beit Yosef section in the butcher shop, and they never took off the Sumeth.
I don't know. Anyway, to say this, so with the Sikhis, I know there is a difference. But I'll tell you, I am surprised that the OU doesn't do something that's acceptable to everybody.
I don't care.
No.
The OU is giving an OU kidney on this year, apparently,
for Pesach. For the Sfadim?
Yeah.
No, so that's in Israel. They have endless products here. They make it here, or they bring it from France. I already saw mustard made in Paris for Pesach. So I regret the fact I'm not a Sfadi, but a Malasa. Okay, a Malasa. Although I have a
box at your house.
I have in my house. I can't eat gebrachs. My wife goes ballistic. But thank God in the hotel there are gebrachs, and my wife already knows she can't say a word. You follow? So she asks the guy running the tour, "Why don't you go glab glad?" He says, "I can't put up with it because there's so many chumras that they have from the Eid HaRei did. It's impossible. You have nothing to eat." And people come to a 4 or 5 star hotel, they want to eat. So I understand. Okay.
Rabbi,
yeah.
How do you feel about Sephardim who come from places where they don't eat kidney out, think Matzir Neder?
If their Eidah doesn't eat kidney out, how can they be Matzir Neder? They're part of that Eidah.
God is Shuvan Yechavidah.
What?
God is Shuvan Yechavidah. He already said a decade ago.
That what? That even if you come from a place because you're living, in Israel. If you're living in Israel, Yesh Makom, there's a Lakewood graduate who says the same thing. So if you're living in Israel, Yesh Makom, let them be said. No, not about him. The other one, Ben Chaim. He says even Ashkenazim can. I'm Mayfield. I'm Mayfield in the middle. I was glad to see that in this week's Shabbat B'Shabbatom, Ashkenazi Rav finally spoke up that all these Hechsherim that say for Svadim only, Eidat Mizrach or Klei Kitniyat, are totally wrong. When it's only a Kitniyat derivative, many Ashkenazim used it. And I can tell you, when I came in Aliyah, I called Rav Unterman, and he told me, Lahati Neder, this is Minigam Makom. I can tell you even more. So when I came in Aliyah, we had nothing to eat. So I was Mati Neder, I ate my Kitniyat. It was... Now, over the years, the whole industry here has changed, and you can get endless products without Mekitniyat. Only one you can't get, margarine. So about 10 years ago, I never yet saw, not with date margarine. That kills you, that's bad for the heart. So I spoke with Rav Shai Yosef Cohen, and I said, why don't you make margarine with cottonseed oil for Pesach like they do in America? He said, you're absolutely right. Others, he said, I'm going to work it out with Telma. That year, I was so happy. Pesach is coming. They're going to have margarine that I can now say my house is glut for all Ashkenazim. Lo nivra.
Mezola.
Lo hayava lo nivra. Mezola is corn. Yep, it's corn. It doesn't say.
Mezola makes a margarine that is blue kidney.
I hope you're right. Fine.
The same giving
fantasy. So I asked Rabbi Shashim, why didn't you do it? He says, you don't know what happened. I got Talmud to agree. They're going to change their whole line of production. They even thought of keeping it that way all year because they claim it's healthier, the cottonseed oil. The Eidah Haredit said they do not accept it. And then Talmud made the Cheshbon for them to change the entire line of production and not have the Eidah Haredit behind it. It's not worth it to them. So once again, we lost that because of the Eidah Haredit. For your enjoyment, you should know that for years you couldn't get potato chips except with a Rabbanut Hashgach on the Pesach. So the Eidah Haredit said it's us that have potato chips. We didn't have it. Our grandparents didn't have it. Our great-grandparents didn't have it. And then suddenly about 8-9 years ago, you have Eidah Haredit potato chips. What happened? The kids were all buying Rabbanut potato chips. So to avoid that, today you don't have one potato chip without an Eidah Haredit Hechsher. So that's life. Gentlemen, I just want to reiterate, first of all, I need a salah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I was able to give shir and have health. It was a very hard week for me last week, the death of my student. The more I thought about it, the more it just uprooted me. He was in class a number of times. I don't know if any of you remember anything. A real character. He made Jits look ultra-Orthodox. He had gone to Tells High School, and right after the Six-Day War, he graduates Tells High School, and he goes on Aliyah 67, and his Rebbeim are angry at him for going Aliyah. He never forgave them. Went into the Israeli army, rose to quite high rank. He became a magad, mafaked gedud. And he married a girl from B'nai Brak. I think that essentially kept him from, but he always was in rebellion. And then Nebuch, when he got out of the army, he had no profession, no degree, a high school graduate, wanted to make money. Went to America probably for 2-3 years, wound up staying, and the rest is history, and it ends so sadly. It was a hard week. It took my neshama out. But anyway, Modala Kadosh Baruch Hu, we had a nice shiur today. We did the B'Sam Rosh. We did the detraction on the part of the Munkacha. We did the support. I explained in detail the Svadim. I explained the Chidar. I explained the Steichemed. We still have more to do on the B'Sam Rosh, but we're coming down towards the conclusion. Halacha L'maisa. And Yitzhak, you have no feeling for advanced scholarship. I'm extremely proud of what I did, taking an obscure topic that no one but no one has ever touched like this, and we took it to the end. If anyone here can pick up a doctorate, all you have to do is fill in the limbs, the veins, the sinews, but the meat is there for you. And if you'll thank me in the introduction, as Monk Shapiro does, I thank my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Kefet, for introducing me to the Sri Dayesh. I'll be very thankful if you're Omedava B'Shem Omer, maybe Gula Liolam. Gentlemen, tomorrow, an unbelievable shir dealing with the fallout of Satma, dealing with Rav Avinir, the attack on Satma, dealing with yours truly becoming a focal personality against his will, both in Satma and in Ateret Kohanim. And we are sailing. These are the latest shayurim of our dear friend, Reb Asher Weiss. I understand Rav Bedmash criticized him, but he's a unique posek. You have to understand that. The latest Jewish action, if anyone wants, Torah in a Digital Age. It is an excellent issue, and it makes a point that I have made, that I speak to this person from the publishing house, and she's a nervous wreck when she's talking to me. She can't wait to get off the phone. And a result of the digital world, people would rather send an email than talk to a human being. She sends me the most beautiful emails, but to talk to our Rav Rakefet, there is no time. What a world. And to meet it again in health and happiness, let's hope the world is still standing. Das Vidanya. Thank you very much.
My
dinner
all available online. Larry Greenstein.
Juice Action, you can get all online.